G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 13, take 4 of Eric to the Diary Room. Eric to the Diary Room is a podcast, and it talks about TV, entertainment, music, pop culture, and a lot more. Coming to you from the mobile diary room, on my way home to my place of employment. And this is take 4. I did an extensive test on take 3, and it seems to be working. I've had some troubles with this app, BossJock, but I am working on a beta version with the developers. So we'll see how we go. We tweaked the setting last night as I'm recording, so we'll see how we go. I've already done one full-length test, and so far so good, so hopefully this will work. On this episode, I'm actually going to talk about 4 TV shows. And I'm going to talk about one TV show that I haven't spoken about. Oh, actually, yes, I am going to speak about one TV show that I haven't spoken about on this show before. And we're going to talk about 3 others that I've spoken about, but not necessarily on this podcast. Anywho, we are going to have lots of great TV coming up over the summer period. And the main reason I say that is because I can record things on my Foxtel IQ and play them back when I want to. No longer do I have to worry about having nothing to watch. That and all the DVDs that I've purchased recently, I've got heaps to keep me entertained. One thing that has been keeping me entertained over the last few weeks is actually Big Brother. The Australian version of Big Brother is back for 2012, having had a few years off. In case you're unaware, the title for this actual podcast, actually the Diary Room, comes to you because of this show. I actually did this podcast as a Big Brother podcast for 2 years, in 2007-2008. Big Brother was really awesome originally, and of course it's based on the 1984 novel by George Orwell, where the basic theory is that Big Brother can see all, Big Brother can hear all, Big Brother is everywhere. And if you don't follow Big Brother's directions and obey the rules of the area, you can be in big trouble. When the series first started in 2001 here in Australia on Channel 10, the housemates were just ordinary people, and they had no idea what was going to go on in the outside world. It was all new to them, but as the series came, the series grew, and the housemates were able to watch previous seasons, they knew what was going on, and that wasn't helped by Big Brother sticking to the basic same formula the entire time. So after a gap of a few years and a change of network, one from a youth and young people entertainment station to more of a middle-aged and older adult, almost senior audience, there have been some changes in the show this year. There's no up-late version, which used to appear on Channel 10, and it was live from the house late at night, 11:30 midnight, after the late news and sports tonight. So there's none of that. And probably most importantly, there's no live stream from the house. Even though internet has got a lot cheaper and a lot more people are on broadband now compared to when the series first came out, Channel 9 and the production company have decided for one reason or another not to offer a live stream. Maybe they thought it was just too much trouble. So the best you can get from the house is what's on the TV show, or indeed video highlights from the website. Voting's different as well. You used to be able to phone a number or text a number, but you can also now vote from Facebook using Facebook credits, and people are voting to save their person now, not necessarily evicting them like they had previously. So overall, I am enjoying the series. there are some really funny moments, and one of the biggest characters, I'm actually reminded by what today is. It's actually Monday as I'm recording this, and so it's nominations night, or as the housemates call it, Nom Noms. And the biggest character on Nom Noms is Big Brother himself. I've actually tweeted before that Big Brother should have his own TV show. He's just that funny. For instance, this year he really plays along with the housemates, whereas before he was basically, you'd think he was sticking to a script, whereas now he's not afraid of having some fun and having a laugh. For instance, a housemate would come in, like Estelle came, she's the skater chick of the house, and she came in wearing a beanie, and Big Brother says, "Estelle, this is not a ski resort. Please take off your beanie." Or there was another hysterical exchange where English housemate Layla, part of the task they had to do was to eat brains, and Layla comes in and says, "Big Brother, I demand to know what sort of brains we're eating." And Big Brother says, "Layla, they were animal brains." "Well, I figured that, Big Brother, but I need to know what sort of animal did I just eat the brains of?" Didn't know she was South African oak, but anyway. And so Big Brother says, "They were lamb brains, Layla." And she's like, "Oh, really? Well, Layla, what sort of brains, if they weren't lamb brains, what sort of brains did you think they were?" And then she says, "Human?" So that was quite funny. There was another one, another sequence that they showed on the Big Brother Confidential show, which they've tried to use instead of adults only. And Estelle, she's trying to open a tin of beetroot, and she is failing big time opening her tin of beetroot. And so she's trying to get it open with a can opener, and she's not having any luck there. And then they cut to another segment, and then it comes back, Estelle, 3 minutes later, she's still trying to do it. They cut to another segment, Estelle, 5 minutes later, she still can't do it. And in the end, she's got enough open that she decides that it's a good idea to use a knife as a crowbar. And Big Brother says, "Estelle, I don't think that's very safe, do you?" And she says something like, "Are you sure?" And Big Brother says, "I'm positive, Estelle." And then after that, he ends up saying, "Oh, well, Estelle, looks like it's no beetroot for you." I was actually waiting for him to say, "Estelle, go and get a housemate who knows how to open a can." So in that respect, he is probably the biggest star of the show. There are some housemates that they're focusing a lot on because of a storyline, a love interest or something like that. And then there's other housemates who you wouldn't even know was there. So overall, as I said, I'm enjoying the series. I'm missing the fact that there is not any live streaming. Not that I usually watched a lot of the live stream, but it would be nice to have that opportunity. Especially considering that it is, you know, like 2012 and stuff. I don't know if it'll be back next year, but there have been some interesting moments. A lot of them on the nomination show, which is on Monday nights. And it's funny, when something happens, the housemates try and predict what's going on. Like recently, and Channel 10 didn't have this problem, because Channel 10 at the time, they weren't covering any sports coverage. They weren't covering any major sports during the week or on Sunday night. So they didn't necessarily have to fit Big Brother around, say, for instance, football. Whereas on the east coast of Australia, especially New South Wales and Queensland, they had the rugby league to contend with. With a game of football on a Friday night, so that restricted the times that Big Brother could be shown. And then on the Saturday night, sorry, on the Sunday night recently, they had the grand final of the rugby league on the Sunday night when evictions usually are. So they held evictions over for a couple of nights to allow the football to be shown. And Big Brother's led them down the garden path, something shocking. And eventually they found out that there's been no nomination, there's been no evictions on the Sunday night. Because even though they haven't got anything like calendars or watches or anything in the house, they always seem to manage to know when it's Sunday night and when it's Monday night for nom-noms and, you know, keeping track of what day of the week it is. They do better than that than me. But there were some conspiracy theories when the, when there was no eviction on the Sunday night because of the football grand final. Oh, maybe there was a plane crash and they had to cover the plane crash or something like that. No, it was quite simple. They've got a bigger commitment to the football, a bigger contract with the football, and more ratings with the football. And nobody in the house picked it, which was quite cool. Speaking of reality shows, another reality show has just started for another season here in Australia. It's called Beauty and the Geek on Channel 7. And the basic premise is that it's like it's sort of like a finishing school, which sort of, in a way, reminds me of That It's a Lady, which I should talk about at another time. But there's a house full of guys who are geeks, nerds, call them what you will, and then they get paired with a beauty. You know, a female beauty who, stereotypically, isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, isn't the smartest person there. And as a geek myself, I can identify with a lot of these guys. So the guys have to teach the girls about, you know, things that they're interested in, like science and geography and history and all of that sort of stuff. Whereas it's the job of the beauties to tell the geeks, you know, how to handle the ladies, so to speak. And like Big Brother, it basically follows a formula. You know, they come in, there's various tasks that they have to do, and eventually they get rid of each couple until it comes down to a final. Halfway through, there's a makeover, which basically consists of giving the geek new clothes and waxing various parts of their bodies. Because for some reason, geek have to be really hairy for some reason, according to this show, so you'd think. I'm going to do what I did for this latest Australian season of Amazing Race Australia, where I'm going to save the episodes up and then watch them one after the other. That's partly because I'm concentrating on Big Brother at the moment. There's a few TV shows that I'm watching. Big Brother's the main one. I'm watching Motorway Patrol from New Zealand, and also I'm watching the New Zealand version of The Block. I spoke about the Australian version in episode 2, but I'm now watching the New Zealand version on Channel 9 subsidiary channel Go. And it's interesting to compare the difference between the two. To many people in the world, Australia and New Zealand are interchangeable. And so because we're so close together and have such a closer relationship between the two countries, it's sometimes natural to get TV shows from one or the other. So we had the Australian version of The Block on Channel 9 a bit earlier in the year, and that was basically 5 weeknights a week. And then they had, I was going to say an eviction show on Sunday, a reveal room where the housemates, the blockheads, had their rooms judged. They had to do a particular room a week, all rooms. And for that, they were given basic prizes and also cash, like $5,000 cash in the Australian version, which has turned into $3,500 New Zealand dollars for the New Zealand series. And when you think about it, $3,500 as a prize for basically renovating a room, and you've got to pay tradespeople and materials and all that sort of stuff, it's not a lot, really, when you think about it for a week's work. But the basic premise of the show is the same. You have a week where you have to renovate a room or rooms, and then eventually you've done up an entire house and then you sell it at auction. And out of the four houses, the team with the most money at auction wins. I've got to say, I'm really loving the accents, of course, because they're Kiwis. But unfortunately, there's one bad thing about the show, and I'm not sure if this is the case in New Zealand. I think it is. It's only on two nights a week, so you don't necessarily get the feeling of, not that I get this anyway because of my shift work, but, gotta rush home and watch what happens on the block tonight. You know, I sort of feel that a little bit with Big Brother, but when it comes to the block New Zealand, you know it's only on twice a week. So I see it in the TV going, oh yeah, the block New Zealand, let's watch it, but I don't know the couples as well as I do the Australian couples. You don't get to see, I thought I saw basically no renovating in the Australian show, because they're always off doing challenges and things like that. But if you're only watching 2 one-hour episodes a week, it's not a lot of time to be watching something that's that intense, like rebuilding a property over 10 weeks. Some of the sponsors are the same. I don't think I'm getting the same infomercial effect that I was getting with the Australian version. Because I'm not watching it in New Zealand, I'm not seeing the sponsor ads. Oh, sure, they'll say, you know, this episode is brought to you by whoever, or they'll have a t-shirt on of a company or whatever. You know, this $3,500 comes to you from Kiwi Bank, you know, that sort of thing. Whereas on the Australian show, you'd see the sponsor ads in amongst the, during the commercial breaks for the show. So that's probably not a bad thing, actually. Some of the, I said the accents are interesting. One very interesting thing about it is that at the start of each week, they're given a room, whether it be a bathroom, let's say a bathroom just for instance, they're given a bathroom to complete. And so during the week, they have to think about, what do they want in the bathroom? Do they want, they'll need a sink, of course. Do they have a shower only? Do they have a shower bath combo? Do they go for a spa? What sort of vanity do they want? What sort of toilet do they want? Towel racks, you know, all the things that go in to make a bathroom. And then somebody in the production, they make a drawing or a model of what that will look like, so they can say, have the, basically the empty room and say, well, okay, we plan to have the bath here, the shower here, the toilet here, the vanity here, the tower house here, the skylight here, blah, 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 blah. And on the Australian version, it's a really nice 3D animation and it looks really schmick, looks really sweet. But when it comes down to the Kiwi version, you might have seen sporting events where they'll freeze the action and then they'll say, oh, well, the quarterback should throw to this guy because this guy's open, or the winger should run down between these two guys, or, you know, they should place a fielder here, here and here with a magic pen. But instead of a magic pen telling you where the guy should have thrown the ball, they're using the magic pen that draws the people's bathrooms. It's very cheap, it's very nasty, but it's interesting to see that the magic pen sort of used for that purpose. And, you know, you'd think there was a 5-year-old child in the production team who was writing or drawing that particular drawing of the bathroom. You'd think there was a 5-year-old kid drawing the bathroom, and obviously, if you're just drawing an outline drawing with a magic pen of a bathroom, oh yeah, we know what a cupboard looks like, we know what a bath looks like, but it looks absolutely nothing like the finished product. So that's quite strange. Just like Big Brother, the block New Zealand's about halfway through. So I dare say I might be talking about it again before the season ends. But another show that I'm looking forward to, which is just starting, and I'll do the same like I did before, it's season 21 of The Amazing Race. This is the American version. Earlier on in the year, I spoke about the Australian version, which was season 2 of The Amazing Race Australia. I think I spoke that about that in episode 2 or 3. But I'll be interested to check out the American version. Like Survivor, it's been here on Australian TV before, but I haven't watched it. I don't know if all the seasons have been on Australian TV, but here it's on Channel 7, and they've really buried it at 10:30 p.m. on a Monday night. They've really buried the season. And who knows, they might change the time around several times. I don't know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically let the episode record onto my Foxtel IQ, and then when the season's over, I'll watch it then. So by that stage, the Block New Zealand would have finished. By that stage, Big Brother would have finished. And then I can concentrate on shows such as The Amazing Race and Beauty and the Geek. So I might watch those two shows together, or I might watch one first and then the other. We'll sort of see what happens. But with those two shows that I've just mentioned, I don't want to watch one show and then wait for a week, wait for the next one. I'm just going to continue to watch it. But the basic premise of The Amazing Race is that teams go around the world, they have a series of tasks to complete, and whoever arrives last at a checkpoint gets eliminated until there's a grand final. And so it'll be interesting to see where they go around the world and where they actually start from. I presume they'll be starting from somewhere in America, but I'm not exactly sure. As I said, I haven't seen an American series yet, so that'll be interesting again to compare the difference between the Australian and the American versions. A lot of people say that when it comes to Australian versions, they're not as good as the overseas versions. But time will tell. Australia's got a very laid-back sort of, you know, she'll be right, we're just going out to have some fun. Whereas the American ones can be very competitive and very overhyped. And so some Australians don't like that sort of thing, being overhyped and all of that sort of stuff. So lots of TV coming up, which is absolutely awesome. Keep your feedback coming in. I will have to do a feedback show very, very soon. This is episode 13. Albert really likes the theme music, which I think is called TV Star. I'll have to look that up and let you know definitely in the feedback show. And Shauno had major lols about calling the show notes the Shauno notes. And I wish I had the recording where it actually worked, where I did that for the first time, rather than recreating it. If you would like to leave comments, and eventually I will get to them, I do read them, but I will mention them on a show that I will actually record in the Channel X studio. Leave a comment on the Shauno notes at irktothediaryroom.com. You can send me an email, irkpod@gmail.com, irkpod@gmail.com. You can also interact with me on the social networks, irkpod on Twitter, and there's a link to Facebook on the website, irktothediaryroom.com. So much good TV coming up. I'm also about to watch a new cop series on Foxtel called Territory Cops. Last year at about the same time, there was another one called Kalgoorlie Cops, which was based on a series of cops in the desert areas in the goldfield regions of Western Australia. This time it moves to basically Darwin and the Northern Territory, which should be very, very interesting. There's actually a rather cool ad. I'll have to check on YouTube to see if someone's actually put it on YouTube yet. There's two guys out in a waterhole in the Northern Territory fishing, and they think they're going to have a great time catching heaps of fish and drinking lots of alcohol. And then one of the guys gets thrown out of the boat, and you think he's been taken by a crocodile, but there's a bit of underwater wrestling going on, and when the underwater wrestling stops, there's a Northern Territory cop who lifts up the two guys. And so it's a rather cool scene with his territory cop, and he's holding one guy in either hand, by the scruff of the throat sort of thing. And then they do a really cool close-up of the guy's eyes, and they change it from blue to crocodile eyes, which is really, really cool. So that's coming up. When it comes to sport, we're in a bit of an adjustment period at the moment. The major football codes are finished for the year, and then we're coming on to cricket, which is basically the Australian version of baseball. So, and we're coming up to the end of the ratings period, so we're coming up to the time where a lot of the series are ending. And then, of course, in December will be the Christmas New Year period, where there's a lot of sport on TV, not a lot of ratings, but I have so much TV to watch. I was watching the Bathurst 1000, the V8 Supercars race, from Bathurst yesterday as I'm recording this, and it was great to be able to watch the whole thing on my TV live. And I was also recording on my Foxtel IQ, just in case there was something that I wanted to keep. Not that there necessarily was, but it was good if I really wanted to. And what I know some people did, they started a bit later, but they caught up because of all the commercials. The thing about the Bathurst 1000 car race is that it's over 1,000 kilometres, so the race basically takes at least 6 hours. And it's live on TV that entire time. Of course, there are commercials. It's a commercial network. And so obviously they have to have ads and things like that. But when you watch the same ads over and over again, or you watch the first five laps of the race, and then it's time to go to an ad, and then you watch another few laps, and then it's time for another ad. When you think about all the ads that are plastered around the track, the cars, the tracks, the drivers' uniforms, there's all these logos everywhere. And, on-screen messages and all that sort of stuff. They have certain replays brought to you by certain companies and all that sort of stuff. And then there's still the need to take lots and lots of ad breaks. I know they're not going to have, 6 hours of commercial-free for the Bathurst 1000. But I was watching the National Rugby League Grand Final, and once upon a time, for that 90-minute period of the game, it was ad-free because they knew that it was such an important event. But even now, even that isn't ad-free anymore. They'll try and add an ad when they can, sort of thing. So I've got to say, and I didn't really mention this in the sport episode, even though you've got the atmosphere of the crowd and the noise and the cars and whatever, you get to see so much at home. And thinking back, because it was a major milestone for the Bathurst race, and they were showing lots of highlights on the over the last 50 years of the race, how things have improved when it comes to TV coverage and that sort of thing. Things like race cam or, you know, in-car cameras, that sort of thing. It's just amazing where they can put cameras. They can put cameras under wheel arches so you can see how the suspension works. You can put cameras in the track, helicopters, you know, some great footage from helicopters, and one of the images that I really enjoyed watching over the weekend, even though they did tend to overuse it during the race, was the super slow-mo. And you see that on a big TV. Just imagine how good it would be in high definition. Not that it was in high definition. But yeah, you get to see the race as the drivers would see it. You get all the stats. You're constantly kept informed with what's going on. And then add that to the Twitter conversation that you can have. I've met a lot of people who I tweet with by tweeting sporting events. The main one I tweet is V8 Supercars, but, you know, there's some people that I know, I'll tweet football, I'll tweet basically anything as they're watching it. And one thing that I made sure that I did was before the race yesterday, I got online and I tweeted, it's the Bathurst 1000, it's basically the football grand final weekend for me. So if you want to mute the hashtags, now would be a good time to do it. And that's a great thing about hashtags. You can use it if you want to find out who else is talking about it. For instance, for Bathurst, they had hashtag V8SC for V8 Supercar and hashtag Bathurst 1000. So if you want to find out other people who are watching the event and talking about it and tweeting about it, you can. But if you want to ignore it and you have the application to do it, you can ignore it and nothing comes up, as long as people are using the hashtag. And you can, of course, not everybody catches everything that's said on the TV, or they have a different point of view, or they weren't watching at the time or whatever. A classic example was that in the pits, they've got a rule that if the car is raised into the air, you can't have the wheels spinning, i.e. you've got inbuilt jacks in the car which jack the car up so they can change the tyres and stuff, and so you're not allowed to be basically accelerating, which makes the wheels turn, which is very difficult if someone's trying to change the tyres. And so there was one team that did it at the race yesterday. Let's just call them Team A. And then the commentators spoke about it and said that it was illegal and there could be a penalty and all that sort of stuff. And then about half an hour later, Team B did it. Different manufacturer. And again, the commentary team highlighted it and said that it's illegal, blah, 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 you shouldn't be doing it. And so what happened in the end was that the team who did it first, and both of these things were caught on TV and replayed, Team A didn't have a penalty. Team B did have a penalty. They had to come into the pits and make an extra pit stop, which gave them a time penalty. And so I was saying, okay, well, one team did it and got caught and got penalised and the other team didn't. What's going on? For the same thing, they were both on TV, I saw both of them, the commentators mentioned both of them, and yet only one team was penalised, which was Team B. And in the later parts of the coverage, the commentators were basically ignoring the fact that Team A were doing it, whereas earlier, they were the ones who said, oh, Team A did it first, and here's what happened. And so they And then later on, they were focusing on that Team B did it and got penalised. So, in effect... Team B, they were in a tunnel trying to get to the generator that had blacked out to try and reconnect the power, while Team A were sitting comfortably in the meal room eating donuts and having coffee. I wonder how many people actually got that reference. If you did get that Team A, Team B reference, let me know. It'll be interesting. I don't think even Shauno will get that particular reference, but we'll have to wait and see. So, lots of interesting TV coming up. Stay tuned for further episodes of Irk to the Diary Room. If there's a TV show that you think that I would like, let me know. My buddy Albert, by the way, he says that he's really enjoying this show because I'm talking about the sort of shows that he likes to watch. So if anyone's out there and they are thinking that they would like the shows that I like, if I haven't mentioned something yet, let me know about it because I might not have seen the show that you're on about. Anywho, I'm Irk. You've been wonderful. No podcasts and no Pepsi make Irk go something something. And until next time, thank you for listening. Good night, Interweb. I wanna be a team star.